Okay, moving on to 4.2, presentation by Jeremy Deitch, Manager Municipal Assets and GIS and Report, FIT 0826, Re-Strategic Asset Management Policy and Annual Asset Management Update. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. It's always lovely to come see you guys. Today, I'm going to spend some time discussing our asset management update to council, as well as discussing some of the changes we're proposing for the strategic asset management policy. We're going to go through some slides that are relatively familiar for all of us that are involved in asset management planning within the municipality, and we're going to go through some new slides that kind of give us an understanding of where we're at within our asset management maturity, and some scoring metrics that provide us with a framework for how we can keep track of our asset management journey along the way as we continue moving forward. So for all of you that have attended budget meetings in the past, this should be a fairly familiar slide. I'll take everyone through it just to ensure we're all on the same page here. The gray area at the top of the chart represents our total asset management requirement for capital. The blue bars at the bottom represent our annual capital investment year over year, with the orange bar representing the average annual increase to inflation during that time. The bars at the bottom represent the funded percentage of our asset management plan, as well as the point change for that percentage increase. As a reminder, the funded percentage is calculated based on the average annual reinvestment into capital over the average annual requirement. So essentially, it's the percentage that the blue bar is of the total gray area at the top. Throughout the course of 2026, the municipality reinvested an additional $889,000 over previous year's investment, representing an overall increase of 5.5% to our funded percentage. I do want to point out, and it's not showing up very well on the screens here today, but that blue area at the bottom the last 4 years represents the increase in asset management funding during this current term of council. I want to point that out because it is a significant improvement over where we started in 2022 or 2023, moving our funded percentage of our asset management plans from 26.7% to this year, where it would be 36.8%, an overall increase of roughly, I guess it would be 10.1% over that period of time. That's a significant improvement for an individual municipality to make during that time period. I wanted to take a moment to also discuss the changes that we're proposing within the strategic asset management policy, as the framework itself has changed, fairly significantly between what we were using before and what we were using now. This slide here has been pared down a little bit since we initially put it together. There is another slide within the appendix that can show you within the overall topics discussed within the strategic asset management policy, what the changes were from our current policy to the proposed policy. I'll just be speaking to today in the interest of time. So on the left, we have the overall topics that are included within the policy. So I'll start at the beginning. The overall focus. The main message here is that the updated strategic asset management policy in terms of reference move Port Hope's asset management program from a functional compliance-oriented framework to a mature corporate management approach. The earlier documents established the policy base and supported compliance within Ontario Regulation 58817. The updated documents still maintained that compliance focus, but placed much more emphasis on integration, continual improvement, and organization-wide asset management practices. With regards to the governance model, one of the big changes here is daily or governance clarity. In the early framework, councils, the Asset Management Steering Committee, and the Asset Management Team were identified, but the structure less explicit. In the updated framework, responsibilities were clearly organized across council, the Asset Management Steering Committee, the Asset Management Team co-chairs, and the Asset Management Team itself, as well as all staff. This gives the program a stronger accountability framework, which makes it easier to understand who's responsible for what. The organizational reach. The updated framework broadens participation. The earlier Asset Management Team composition was narrower and reflected the structure at the time. The updated terms of reference brings a wider range of operational and corporate service areas, including engineering, water, wastewater, transportation, fire, IT, environmental remediation, parks, trails and waterfronts, recreation, and corporate facilities. This demonstrates that the asset management is increasingly being treated as a corporate practice rather than a siloed exercise. Asset management culture. The original term of reference focused on increasing awareness and reinforcing the relevance of asset management. The updated documents go further by explicitly stating the asset management team's responsibility for fostering and improving the culture of asset management, as well as all staff have a role in supporting that culture through their own work. This is not just about a committee meeting regularly, it's about embedding asset management into how we perform how the organization operates. I promise the remaining slides won't be as long as this one. Levels of service. The updated strategic asset management policy places stronger emphasis on levels of service as a central organized principle. The policy now states that the municipality's asset management goals and objectives are primarily defined in the terms of reference, and that realistic and financially sustainable service targets will be established and documented. The new terms of reference also assigns asset management members responsibility for defining levels of service, metrics, and targets. This is important because it helps connect asset decisions to the services council wants to deliver to the community. Risk and life cycle. The updated policy is more explicit about the risk-based decision-making and life cycle management. While these concepts were present before, the new strategic asset management policy clearly states that the municipality will apply recognized asset management principles and best practices, including life cycle management, risk-based decision-making, and continual improvement. It also adds principal language around balancing service, risk, and costs, with public safety as the priority. This strengthens the decision-making framework for prioritization. Data and condition information. Another notable change is the move towards clear data accountability. Previously, the AMT was generally expected to review and update asset management information. The updated terms of reference goes further, assigning ownership over asset data to the asset management team members for their respective service areas, with responsibility for regular upkeep, asset condition assessments, and maintenance management practices. This supports better evidence and for planning and prioritization. Annual review and improvement. The annual review process is stronger in the updated documents. The earlier SAMP required annual review of implementation progress. The new SAMP describes annual review as an integral part of the continuous improvement and specifically includes progress on implementing the asset management plan, consideration for the asset management policy improvements, and identification of factors affecting implementation and strategies to address them. The updated terms of reference is also add an ongoing annual asset management update to council. Integration with other plans. The updated strategic asset management plan strengthens the message that asset management doesn't happen in isolation. The earlier policy listed key municipal plans that need to be aligned with asset management planning. The new policy reflects that alignment, but presents it more broadly as integration with strategic planning, budgeting, long-term forecasting, growth and land use planning, risk management, emergency management, climate adaptation, and accessibility planning. This signals a more mature and embedded planning approach. Climate and resilience. Climate change was already part of the earlier policy, but the updated strategic asset management policy integrates it more fully into a broader resilience and sustainability lens. This policy continues to frame climate change as part of the municipality's risk management approach, including its effect on life cycle maintenance and disaster response and capital planning. The updated version also links mitigation more explicitly to the municipality's community climate action plan, and reinforces environmental principles such as resilience, ecological protection, and the use of green infrastructure where appropriate. One of the ways that we want to start tracking our maturity in asset management over the course of our asset management journey is the use of the Asset Management Readiness Scale, which was produced by the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. This readiness scale essentially has five areas of not necessarily compliance, but readiness, starting with governance and direction, data and information, planning and processes, risk awareness, and financial alignment. Each of these individual areas has their own section broken down into three other areas, which we won't be touching on today. For the purpose of time, I've amalgamated them all into a single score. Each one of them is ranked 1 to 5. We'll be going through them one by one right now. The first one is policy and governance. This takes into account policies, strategies, and measurement. Our current score is 3 out of 5, which since the same time last year has increased by 0.7. The improvements and next step sections that you're reading on the slides here is direct verbiage out of this particular asset management readiness scale, and we'll be able to reference these improvements and next steps as we continue year over year. For this particular section, improvements aligns us, or our next, or the improvements we've made this year include, we manage assets and services according with our asset management policy and organizational objectives. We've also begun to establish performance measures to monitor our asset management progress. Our next steps to continue improving in this area include establishing a roadmap that details actions for implementing our asset management strategy over the next 3 to 5 years, and using the performance measures to monitor asset management progress and outcomes. The next area of focus we're going to be discussing today is people and leadership. This takes into account teams, accountability, and resourcing. And I want to highlight two things here. One of them may be more obvious than the other. We haven't made any improvements in this area this year. The second thing is that this is actually our highest score already. We're already at a 4 or 5 in this area. The passing of the updated strategic asset management policy will put in place measures to help us achieve the upcoming next steps that will help us improve in this area. Asset management, so the next steps essentially would be asset management team measures and monitors progress, document changes to asset management roles and responsibilities as needed to support the evolving requirements of the municipality. Our current score here is 4 out of 5, and as I mentioned, we didn't improve or decrease during the last year. The next area we'll be touching on is data and information. This discusses asset data, performance, and financial information. Improvements we've made here year over year include we now communicate the results of asset management from levels of service. We communicate the results of our levels of service measurement program to staff and council regularly. That comes in the form of asset management updates and this particular update today. The next, we have defined levels of service metrics for all service areas. Next steps include evaluate the life cycle investment requirements associated with critical assets and capturing major renewal and operating and maintenance expenditure data for assets. Our current score in this particular category is 2.6 out of 5, and we've increased by 0.3 year over year. The next area of focus is planning and decision making. This includes standardization, asset management plans, and financial planning. Year over year, our improvements include adapt our planning approach and criteria to align with involving organizational goals and objectives, and asset management plans for all service areas based on actual data. That was a significant effort, by the way. Next steps in this area include to employ a consistent, structured asset management approach for all service areas, asset management plans based on both short and long-term issues and priorities, and then balanced based on risk. This particular area, we scored a 3 out of 5 and have increased 0.3 year over year. The last category we're going to be focusing on today is contribution to the asset management practice. This includes topics such as training, communication, and knowledge sharing. Improvements we've made year over year include staff and counselor are able to communicate the value of asset management in their own words, and we've disseminated asset management knowledge and resources within the organization. Next steps to improve include becoming thought leaders in the municipal asset management space, and that we are active in coaching other organizations to improve the overall body of asset management knowledge. Year over year, we've improved by one whole point in this area, and we are now at 3.6 out of 5. To briefly touch on some of the other areas of improvement we've made in the last year and a half to 2 years, includes our asset management capital prioritization. We've implemented a multi-criteria decision model to help our senior leadership team better understand the importance and context around capital requests from municipal staff. This is reviewed on an annual basis by the asset management team, and we continually improve the process year over year to ensure that we're capturing all the nuances of capital planning. Another one would be the increased visibility of capital carry forward projects. This is something that we discussed during the budget kickoff, how we are categorizing our individual capital carry forwards to understand where the responsibility is, where the remaining work resides, to help us better understand department capability or to take on additional projects when they already have several projects in the queue. The next would be the development of asset management driven 10-year forecasting. This would be our first year using this, and one of the key products that we purchased in the last few years was our asset management software Citywide. There's particular reporting included within this software that make this process much easier than it would be normally. It essentially allows us to view each individual asset, its replacement cost, and the year that it needs to be replaced in. Ultimately, this focuses on data and data quality, but we've made significant improvements in that area as well. Lastly, being risk-based decision-making and asset prioritization. Another area that we've improved upon here is how we functionally categorize risk. We have created another multi-criteria decision model around strategic value of each asset. Each asset within our asset register has been categorized in this way. They each have their own strategic rank for which assets are technically based on that model, the most important to the municipality. If you're interested in what that model looks like, I believe it's the last slide in the appendix. Lastly, I wanted to touch on a couple of things, a couple more interesting boots on the ground type initiatives that we're doing right now, some examples of closing gaps within asset management. One of the asset networks that I've been touching on almost every year since I've been here is the stormwater network. The risk of failure within that particular network is high, and the consequences are also high. At the moment, it is currently managed through the Roads Department. Unfortunately, there's no current inspection program for those assets. That is based on the fact that staff time is not there for this particular asset set because it is managed through the Roads Department. There's no condition information available at the moment for these. We have done condition assessments on the assets in the past. That data is somewhere, and we're not entirely sure where yet. And also, there are additional requirements for reporting through the updated CLI-ECA, which I'm sure everyone knows stands for the Consolidated Linear Infrastructure Environmental Condition Approvals. Sure, we all knew that. upcoming adjustments that we're making to solve these issues is that the Roads Department has contracted the Municipal Water Solutions to complete operation and maintenance plans related to the updated CLI-ECA requirements. They will be developing stormwater and operation manuals and staff training. This is going to be completed likely towards the end of 2026, October, November. Another area of concern or a gap within asset management that we've noticed recently is how many pooled assets we have within our asset register. A pooled asset is essentially a series of assets that is pooled to represent one asset within a replacement profile. Some of these assets are over $10 million. And what we're doing right now is we're working with individual departments to split out those assets to determine, what we had done is we've gone through with the departments, determined what those assets are, what the flow of the information needs to be, and splitting them out into logical frameworks so that we can not just say that in 2027 we have a $10 million asset we need to be replaced. We can break that down further into logical estimated useful lives, logical replacement costs, logical life cycle modeling. I believe that comes to the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this really thorough update. We really appreciate when you come and give us these updates because this is some of the most important work that we do as a municipality. And maybe I'm just going to kick off with a couple of questions for you. One is, when you talked about one area of improvement, which is to become really good communicators internally within the organization and between our organization and others, and the importance of asset management, I'm wondering, are we giving enough consideration on how we can best communicate asset management to the public, to the taxpayers? Because it strikes me that this is something that we're learning more and more about as a council and as a municipality, but how can we relay that in really simple, understandable terms to the public? And it sort of brings me back to one of your earlier slides where you were pointing out the decisions that we've made at this table to support reducing the infrastructure deficit for the municipality and what that actually means in the bigger picture. Again, in language that's understandable to the public, so that they better understand some of the priorities that we're taking at this table, which may not seem immediate, but they are so important to that asset management and to the future well-being of the community.
Thank you for the question, and through you, Chair. I think this is a very difficult topic. I do think this asset management in general is a very complicated framework of financial planning. I do think that over the past year, we have made improvements as we were working with our communications team. We put together an AI podcast that basically took the asset management plan and put it into a 20-minute podcast that helped explain the decision-making progress, decisions that we've made going forward, or we're going to be making going forward. We've also, working with the communications team, we have created pamphlets and individual assets for individual assets for online advertising that essentially give us that verbiage for the public, that essentially kind of take what we're doing here on a daily basis and do our best to communicate it appropriately to the public. Does that answer your question?
It does, and of course I think we all very much appreciate all the effort that's been put into it, but I'm always still struck by the lack of those connection of the dots, and not understanding that those decisions that we made very conscientiously at the table around infrastructure are so important exactly for this work and the long-term nature of this work, which go beyond any one council, for the public to understand that. Questions, comments around the table? Councillor Clare.
Thank you. It was really, actually really nice to read all the progress that we're making, and, kudos to you and your team on that. It's been great. And I think, I appreciate you highlighting too the investments that have been made in trying to, address that infrastructure gap. And I think that's a testament, staff and council should be really proud of that work. I also really appreciate increased acknowledgement of the impacts of climate change and how that intersects with our asset management plan. So I want to say that from the outset, I really appreciate that, because I don't think it wasn't there, in those initial years to the same extent. I'm not sure that I feel like the policy language in the policy itself goes far enough for my liking on it. And I think I'm going to sort of channel Councillor Todd when we were talking about the EDI policy. I'd like to see more shall kind of language, directive language in the policy itself. I'm very conscious of, all of the volume of evidence that is there now about, I think, it's conclusive evidence that non-adaptive assets that are not considering climate adaptation end up costing us more over the long term. And so I'm curious about what we could do with the policy that sort of that addresses that, so that we're not going to still be in a situation where we get caught in that short-term thinking of comparing like for like versus climate adaptive design on the basis of that initial investment and not on the long-term cost of maintaining non-adaptive assets over the life cycle. And I know there was a huge report came out earlier this year, as you well know, that looked at nationally, that suggested that investing in climate adaptive assets at the outset will save nationally in Canada, up to $9 billion a year, and that 72% of that is borne by municipalities like ours. Like, it's not small change; it's huge, huge costs over the life cycle of these assets. So, I'm putting on notice to the council. I'm probably going to bring forward a motion, depending on the nature of the discussion, to refer this to the Environmental Advisory Committee so that we can have an opportunity to review the language in detail and perhaps come forward with some recommendations around how we could incorporate more directive language around decision-making with respect to the climate impacts.
Can I address that? Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Of course.
Through the chair. Yes. I believe that there is verbiage within the strategic asset management policy that does address this, and it requires that all staff making recommendations for capital infrastructure investment to take into account the community climate action plan. And we can more than happy to have it reviewed, I suppose. That is verbiage that we have within the policy as well as within our capital planning templates. It also needs to be recommended to the asset management team that the person bringing this project forward has taken into account the Community Climate Action Plan and how. I also would like to mention that natural asset management is very much in its infancy. Even as much headway as we've made within asset management planning itself is still a relatively early practice for a lot of small municipalities. Natural asset management is even more so. There has been a lot of headway in that area, but it almost seems as though many municipalities are waiting for somebody to build a best in practice solution so that they can take advantage of that. And right at the moment, there just isn't something out there right now. There are frameworks in place to value assets, value their replacement, but at the moment we're kind of short-staffed, so approaching that is a challenge.
Thank you for that. And I saw Councillor Less having his hand up.
I was just going to say that I think that the plan as presented, I think we should receive it for information. We're not going to get all the nuances of the climate action in there, but I think you should just proceed along the way you're going.
Any other comments, feedback, questions, et cetera, around the table on this? Okay, well, we do have a recommended motion that is on the agenda. Let's see if we've got a mover and seconder for that, and if there's an alternative motion that might want to be tabled around that. So let's start with what we've got on the agenda, and if we get a mover and seconder on that, we can open it up for discussion and see if there's an alternative language or option that we may want to include in that. Councillor Clare, I know that we had a response to your concern about whether or not the language goes far enough in the policy. Did you want to respond before we consider the motion? Why don't you maybe respond back to the response that you got to your question?
I think procedurally, I would like the opportunity to introduce an alternative motion prior to consideration of the recommended motion. I didn't raise it because I wanted to give an opportunity for other members of council to ask questions and comment before I did it, but I did signal that I wanted to bring forward an alternative that is actually, it's not amending this, it's saying I think I would like to refer it to the EAC prior to consideration of approval of the policy.
Okay, and I wasn't certain if that was still your intent because I didn't hear you respond back to the response to your concerns. So I'll pivot back and ask you to put your motion on the table.
That report be referred to the Environmental Advisory Committee for further review and report back to council. Yeah, that works.
I have a question for you on this, Councillor Clare. How is this different than the language that's already in the document that requires that all decisions are made in relation to the climate policy that we have? What is it the environmental committee is going to do that the policy does not in terms of operationalization of the policy?
So I think what I would like to do is to have the opportunity to review the language in the policy itself. You know, when I read that section on page 7 with respect to climate change, I see a lot of language that is these things must be considered. I don't see any directive language around they must be considered or how they're considered. And there's still language in there that allows for, you know, we've considered it, but we're not going to make the investment in climate adaptive assets because of other financial considerations. And I'd like the opportunity to review that against the language in our community climate action plan before we adopt the policy, because I think the policy language itself is not actually fully aligned with the recommendations of the climate action plan in terms of, see what I mean? In terms of it being embedded as a thing that we will do as opposed to we will consider doing.
And I just want one piece of clarification on this actually from staff. Is it not the requirement, though, that before any decision is made in relation to asset management, that it has to be vetted through the community action plan? So, in fact, before any subsequent decisions are made, they're in fact having to go through the same process that you're recommending here. I just don't want to double up or do redundant work here.
That is the case.
Councillor Clare.
There are other pieces there, you know, to the point I made as well is, you know, right now there is no provision that I've seen in any of the language that requires the like for like versus climate adaptive design comparison to include a life cycle forecasting of maintenance and repair. So we could end up in a situation where we're continuing to choose non-adaptive assets that are not going to perform as well over time because they may be cheaper at the outset. And I really just want to make sure that we have the time and the EAC who are thinking about and researching these things as well all the time through that lens, have an opportunity to review it and consider whether there's an opportunity to strengthen that language before we adopt the policy.
Okay, so we have Councillor Clare's motion on, let's just make sure that we all have a chance to, could we bring that back up just to read it carefully? Oh, and I'm sorry, before we actually go to a seconder, I've just noticed that Councillor Mink has her hand up. So Councillor Mink, would you also like to just speak to this before I call for a seconder?
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate Claire's motion and her passion and knowledge for the accessibility, environmental committee, as well as the committee themselves. They sound, you know, very engaged. But I'm just curious why or what the risk may be referring this to one committee when it could impact various committees. Our asset management as it relates to accessibility, as it relates to the library board, as it relates to heritage and things like that. So I'm just concerned, are we skewing it a little bit by referring it only to the environmental committee, which is obviously a great group that's very strong, or like it just seems very focused to me on that one area, and I don't know.
Thank you for your comments, Councillor Mank, and I know what Councillor Clare is going to say on this. I think we should move on and try to decide how we're going to. Let's see if we can get a seconder on this. I'm sure your answer is that it's not skewed. It's a really important step. Go ahead, Councillor Clare.
I actually want to bring us back to, I think it was two council cycles ago, where there had been a series of referrals where I had referred things to the Environmental Advisory Committee. One of them at least was also referred to the Accessibility Committee. You, I think, Mayor, made the comment, are we being inefficient here, and could those documents, bylaws, and that be circulated to our advisory committees as a matter of course before they come to council? And I think there was agreement from our CAO that that could be done. Maybe that was specific to bylaws and this is a policy. But to me, I think you're absolutely right, Councillor Mink. I think our advisory committees exist for a reason. They bring a lens that's not necessarily always embedded as directly in, you know, in our staff staffing models and that. And I think that those lenses are important, and I think it does behoove us to have those lenses applied before we consider adoption of policies and bylaws.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that further comment. So we have, I think everybody's had a chance to read the motion that is been tabled by Councillor Clare. Is there somebody that would like to second this motion? Councillor Todd is going to second the motion. Any further comments or conversation on this? Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I think staff have done an incredible job with this. I have full confidence in staff, and I don't think that we need to refer it over. I think our staff do an incredible job, and I know that they will continue to do an incredible job.
Okay, thank you to the Deputy Mayor. Anybody further? Okay, all in favor? Okay, that is defeated.